Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. More on question three, and again from a supporter on the program today, John Wellinghoff, former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The sixth annual Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue. And Par Tolls Development Company, breathing life into Northern Nevada's future.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
We will not come out against it. We haven't
period.
We have not spent a dime to fight it. We will not spend a dime to fight it.
That is an NV Energy lie from the CEO. NV Energy is spending $30 million to defeat question three, because the more you pay, the more the NV Energy monopoly profits from you. The Review Journal called their No on 3 campaign fear-mongering propaganda.
We will not spend a dime to fight it.
$30 million worth of lies. Break up with NV Energy's monopoly by voting yes on question three.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation about question three, the energy choice question, which is really getting as much money, if not more, than the governor's race in Nevada here. And we're speaking, very pleased to welcome back to the program a friend of many years, John Wellinghoff. He's the former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. I'd add another title to that, Nevada's first consumer advocate.
And very interesting that you bring that up, and obviously very true. And you were appointed by Randolph Townsend. And Randolph Townsend wrote a very strong editorial a couple of weeks ago in the Reno Gazette Journal, I'm presuming will go across the state, in favor of question three. And so that's an interesting connection between you and he.
Yeah, he and I have worked for many, many years, and I think Randolph is one of the most respected legislators ever in the state to put energy legislation together. And he and I worked on a number of pieces of legislation, including the Renewable Portfolio Standard and a number of other things. And, of course, he is a strong supporter of question three and also does believe that it should go in as a constitutional amendment. He thinks that's the appropriate way
Why?
For it to go in.
Why? Well, because many others disagree. They're not against the idea, but they're against it being a constitutional amendment.
Right. Well, because it is a very simple idea. The constitutional amendment itself does not put the details in place. The details will be put in place by the legislature and by the administrative agencies like the PUC. So ultimately, if something goes wrong, we can fix it because they can fix it and they have the time to fix things and make it work right, make it work the way it's working in Pennsylvania, make it the way it's working in Texas. However, it does give you the broad requirement that there be no generation monopolies and that we have a reasonable opportunity for choice in the state. I think that's essential to wipe out those monopolies and put the will of the people in a constitutional amendment. Secondly, if you look at Randolph's op-ed, he makes a very essential point, and that is over the last 10 years, I think NV Energy spent $16 million on lobbying in the legislature. So it's very difficult to make such a pronouncement in a legislative way, because ultimately you have so many lobbyists by the incumbent monopoly that it just thwarts what goes on. So I think ultimately you'll see that putting it in a legislative, in a constitutional amendment is much more effective, because then the legislature can get to work, and they have three sessions.
They're forced to work.
They're forced to work. They're forced to work and carry out the will of the people. And I think that's ultimately what we're doing in this constitutional amendment. They're forced to work, but they have three sessions to do it in, ultimately, the 2019, 2021, and 2023 session, and can do it in a very measured and careful manner that ensures that all the consumer protections are in place, that all the regulations in place, and this is not deregulation. This is, in fact, restructuring, going from an economic regulator who, you know, dictates prices and dictates a very high margin for the utility of 10 to 12% return, but instead a market regulator who oversees a truly competitive market with very low margins that ultimately can provide savings to consumers and deliver consumers new technologies and multiple choices.
When you look at the interview I did recently with Phil Satre, one of the things that he spoke about was that the PUC wouldn't be in charge of rates, but it would be an organization like ISOCal in California that would actually be there setting the rates. Is that how you see it? Because you're coming from California in terms of where you reside these days.
No, I don't see it like that, because what the PUC would be doing is they would be a consumer protection agency, ultimately, as I was consumer advocate back in 1981, advocating for consumers before the PUC at a sort of a very unlevel playing field where the utility has all the data and you're trying to go in and find out, you know, where they're hiding the ball. It's a constant fight to try to go in and reduce rates in a way that you can effectively do it, as opposed to simply being a market regulator where you're overseeing a number of market players, multiple market players who are all competing against each other. And if one of them starts doing something wrong, one of them starts engaging in fraudulent activities, you bet every other one is going to start pointing to that person. And so you'll have that regulator who can oversee those ultimate players in that market. They will license those people. They will ensure with respect to that licensing that they do engage in proper activities, that there is proper consumer protection. And that's not what the Cal ISO does at all. The Cal ISO actually runs a wholesale market within both California and Nevada. They have members in Nevada, including Valley Electric, so it's not just a single state entity.
Who is in favor of Question 3?
And Valley Electric is in favor of Question 3, that's correct. But you will have a regulatory agency that will, in fact, be protecting consumers in this new competitive market.
What is your confidence level in the PUC? We've seen changes in the commissioners and the chairman over the last several months. Governor Sandoval has come out against Question 3. So what is your confidence level in his appointees, who, by the way, are not experts in electricity? They're mostly lawyers. Or regulators, former regulators.
Well, again, the legislature will have the opportunity to set up the structure for the new restructured competitive market. So it can decide what kinds of qualifications the people who are the new PUC commissioners have to have to ensure that they can carry out their duties. And I have, you know, great confidence in them that they ultimately can do that. I think we've seen past PUCs who've acted under an economic structure, economic regulation. It's been difficult, but they've generally done their jobs and tried to do their jobs, even though, you know, NV Energy has been able to over-earn over the last number of years more than $200 million.
And where does that money go?
It goes in the pockets of their shareholders.
Okay, so that money is not being reflected in coming back to Nevadans?
No. But what will come back to Nevadans, and what people don't recognize, is that there is a huge pot of money that they've taken, that NV Energy has taken from Nevadans, in what's called accumulated deferred income taxes. And we had a rate analyst come in who's one of the most respected rate analysts in the country and do an analysis on their system to say if they divested their generation, if we went to a competitive system, what would happen to these accumulated deferred income taxes? Those would come back to Nevadans, and that's about $1 billion that would go to start reducing rates. So this question of whether or not rates will immediately go up, the answer is no. Rates will not immediately go up. In fact, they will go down because of these accumulated deferred income taxes that will come back And it's about, on average, an $11 per month saving. And that's just the beginning of the savings. That does not reflect the savings that will be incorporated into the competitive rates that these new competitive players will be able to put in the markets. For example, if you look in Texas, you can go now choose a retail provider in Texas to provide you service at your home for 7 cents a kilowatt hour. What are the rates of NV Energy? In Southern Nevada, they're 10 cents. Up here, they're 11 cents or so. So they're extremely higher than rates that can, in fact, be obtained in places like Texas and other competitive states.
Okay, so an example that I think that people would understand very well is cable companies, satellite companies, phone companies. They will entice you in for a year or two with very, very low rates, and then after that initial period, you see your rates go up quite dramatically. And people have the choice to either stay with that company if they're satisfied with them, or change and get a better deal.
Correct.
Is that what we're seeing in other markets as far as these rates go?
No, we're not. We're seeing a whole array of options. We're seeing things like the ability to take a 3 or 5 year contract where you can have a fixed rate for 3 to 5 years, and it would not go up. And you can't do that with NV Energy, because NV Energy can come in and change their rates anytime they want to. They just go before the Public Utilities Commission, they file a case, and the rates go up. That wouldn't happen if you chose a provider that ultimately would give you a long-term fixed rate, and you can get those kind of deals in Texas and other places right now. But other options you could have rates that would change literally hour by hour, and you can do that in Texas now as well. You can go in and get for $9.99 a month a fixed fee. You then get the wholesale rate, which right now is about 2 cents a kilowatt hour. So you get this fixed rate plus the 2 cents a kilowatt hour that then changes, and then you can decide, how you change your consumption. Now, certainly not all consumers are going to do that, but that's another option. That's what competition provides. Competition provides a multitude of options that ultimately then consumers can decide and ultimately ensure that they can control their energy costs.
What you raise sounds exciting, but I also have to come in from the point of view of the viewer and play devil's advocate and say, Okay, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. What are the protections for the consumer of going in to buy what sounds like a fantastic deal? We can get the wholesale rate at 2 cents a shot, and then suddenly they're in trouble because the rates have gone through the roof because of something they didn't see in the fine print.
Well, what is to protect them are, for example, in Texas, a commission that oversees and licenses those people. So if there is fine print, i.e. if they're doing things that are deceptive, that consumers are not aware of and are, in fact, causing them to have excess rates beyond what they otherwise should have, then ultimately the PUC can step in. They can step in and they can take away their license, or they can fine them. They can do all kinds of things. That's what we did at FERC when we moved from an economic regulator to a market regulator at the wholesale level. And it was done, before me, several commissions before me. They started down that path, but ultimately got to the path where we are now in a place of overseeing the markets and acting as the cop on the beat. And the cop on the beat can ensure that fraud and manipulation doesn't take place to an extensive degree. Now, certainly there's going to be, somebody who's going to try to be the smartest guy in the room. But if you've got an effective enforcement mechanism that can oversee that, and again, they put it in place in Texas and in Pennsylvania and in other states for the retail customers, and FERC put it in place for the wholesale customers, then customers can be protected.
All right, let's take a break. More with John Wellinghoff when we come back.
Dear Nevada,
there's a kidnapping underway.
We're taking your Senate seat in California.
Liberals in California have hijacked our Senate race. Put $1.9 million into Jackie Rosen's campaign.
Vote for Jackie Rosen or else.
California wants Jackie Rosen because Jackie Rosen votes like Pelosi 90% of the time.
Jackie Rosen.
Trillions in taxes. Job-killing regulations. Don't let California kidnap your Senate seat. Vote against
Jackie Rosen.
NRSC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Here's award-winning Nevada consumer advocate John Sasser.
Question 3's electricity deregulation scheme would be very costly for Nevada consumers. Consumer groups have studied what happened in states that tried electricity deregulation. It led to higher electric rates and deceptive sales practices. It would cost Nevadans an estimated $4 billion and increase a typical family's electric bill by hundreds of dollars per year. Please join our coalition and vote no on 3. Thank you.
You tried to move on. You tried to put your life back together. Until one day, you see him. At the store, when you're leaving work. Somewhere you may never expect. The criminal who tore your life apart is walking free. But you may never know until you come face to face with him. It's time for equal rights. It's time for Question One.
Women and children, when facing fleeing an abusive relationship, shouldn't have to choose leaving their pet behind or leaving. And Noah's Animal House removes that barrier. And we are excited to have a facility in Las Vegas to serve Southern Nevada and Northern Nevada in Reno, so that women and children can be right next door to their pets while they're on their road to recovery and safety.
Grab your toga and head inside Edge Nightclub for Noah's Animal House 2. Animal House has gone country this year with a live performance by country star Tyler Rich.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with John Wellinghoff. He's the former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, better known as FERC, and he is in favor of Question 3. One of the things that Phil Satre brought up when he was on the program, the former chairman of NV Energy, was that big business, a lot of those big businesses, by the way, are pulling out of NV Energy.
Yes, they are.
So even the Raiders Stadium just recently announced that they were going to seek other energy sources in Reno, the Atlantis, Peppermill, Las Vegas, MGM, Switch, Wynn, Caesars, and more have all pulled out of NV Energy and have paid huge sums for the ability to do that to the PUC. So big business has the ability to get long-term contracts that are very good. Phil Satre says that that's not going to happen for small business and for residential customers.
Well, he's wrong. It's happened in Texas. It's happened in Pennsylvania. As I mentioned to you, you can go in Texas, you can get a 3-year contract. You can get a long-term contract if you want as a residential customer. So ultimately, customers can be protected. The other part is that, you know, I keep trying to convey to people that they don't seem to understand, or at least the people who are opposing Question 3 don't want to understand. It's the fact that, yes, so the MGM resorts can go out and get a contract, and they're a big customer. Well, these people who are going to be serving the residential customers are big people too. They're large entities who will come in and be retail providers like NRG and like Direct Energy and a number of others that are backed by big, very financially viable people that will go out and get long-term contracts as well. They can do it just like MGM Resorts. In fact, some of these entities are bigger than MGM Resorts. So they will do it and then aggregate hundreds of thousands of customers in Nevada and go out and get contracts for them. It's the same thing. It all comes out to be the same and ultimately provide savings to consumers.
One of the phrases that Mr. Satre used that is bounded about is the cost of stranded assets. This would be plants that NV Energy has built and paid for.
Yes.
That they would now be left with. And he's saying that the consumer, the public, would end up having to pay the cost of those stranded assets, which amounts to about $4 billion. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are they're paying for them now. There's not any incremental new costs that will come about once we go to retail choice. So, yes, those stranded assets will be incorporated in their bill, and they're in their bill now. But they'll also have savings that will come in their bill from these other aspects of on the generation side and on the retail side when these retail providers come in. So those are costs that ultimately will be paid one way or the other. Either we'll pay for them by continuing with the monopoly, and actually we'll pay a lot more if we continue with the monopoly, or we can pay for them by breaking up the monopoly and incorporating them into some long-term rate that ultimately, as I say, they're in our rate now, some part of our long-term rate that will pay them off and move them out of the system ultimately.
Would somebody not come in and just buy those stranded assets?
Well, that's the other part of it. Those stranded assets will be purchased, so that will reduce that $4 billion cost way down, number one. Number two, those stranded assets also have that accumulated deferred income tax embedded into it, $1 billion, so you can reduce that by another $1 billion down, that will also offset those costs to consumers. And again, those costs are consumers are paying those costs now. So there's no incremental additional money that we'll owe NV Energy if we go to a restructured system. It's the money that, again, consumers are paying right now in their rates.
All right, let's take one more break. We'll be back with John Wellinghoff after this.
The 6th Annual Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you, the Nevada Trucking Association, motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue, and Par Tolls Development Company, breathing life into Northern Nevada's future.
The story of selling us out. Dean Heller tells Governor Sandoval he'll do the right thing on health care. Then a pro-Trump dark money group threatened TV ads to beat Heller. Heller meets with President Trump, and the dark money group takes down their ads. After threats from Trump, Heller votes to let insurance companies deny coverage for pre-existing conditions. His reward? A new dark money group pledges to help Heller get reelected. Dean Heller sold us out to save himself. Majority Forward is responsible for the content of this ad.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with John Wellinghoff. He was former chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, better known as FERC, and is in favor of Question 3. And we do want to point out that we more than welcome people from NV Energy to come on the program and talk about their perspective on this. Both sides are contributing money to this program, and so we want to be fair about this. One of the things that's come up that doesn't come from Phil Satre, but comes from employees and from union workers, which is they're concerned
from employees of NV Energy?
Of NV Energy,
okay.
Correct. And from the union members,
yes.
That are fighting this, which is concern about jobs. Address that for us, if you would.
Well, ultimately, with choice, you have a driver for economic development. Economic development means more jobs. So we're not talking about less jobs here. We're talking about more jobs. Ultimately, the jobs as well for the existing infrastructure won't go away because the transmission and distribution system will still be in NV Energy's portfolio and they'll still own it and operate it. So that all those jobs are staying. The jobs at the generation level, it's not like those power plants are going to close down. Somebody will buy them, as you pointed out earlier in the stranded cost discussion, that when they're divested, somebody will buy them. So the jobs are still there. So maybe they're concerned about whether there'll be union jobs or not. I don't know. Again, you know, I'm very supportive of unions. In fact, the Clark County Teachers Union is, in fact, supporting Question 3. So we do have union support, ultimately, for Question 3. Beyond that, there'll be lots of new jobs with increased solar development, and increased competitive providers in the state. There'll be a whole array of new jobs that will come into the state. So, maybe it's specific jobs that they're looking at particular power plants that may be under certain union contracts that they have concerned about. But I don't think that should stop the state of Nevada putting in place something that's good for all the citizens?
One of the things that Phil Satre talked about was that as this progresses, if question three does pass, that we know it's going to end up in the legislature, but he feels it's going to end up in the courts as well. Do you see court battles, and what would they be fought over?
I don't see court battles. This is a very clear constitutional amendment. The language is very, very clear as to the direction for the legislature, as to what they need to do, and the legislature then has a great degree of discretion to put in place a system that will work and effectuate those policy directives by the people. So I don't see court battles.
He also raised the idea of potentially rate caps.
Well, rate caps is something that potentially could be put in place. You could put in, you know, the price to beat, which has been done in other places as well. I don't think it will be necessary, especially in the environment we're in now, because we're in an environment of declining prices in generation, especially solar and wind. We're seeing prices come in, you know, at 2 cents or 2.5 cents of those kinds of technologies.
At the wholesale level?
Yes, at the wholesale level. And because of those low prices, I don't think we will actually need to put in a price to beat or a price cap ultimately.
Well, that's where we have to leave it for now, but I'm sure we're going to have more discussions, and we'd love to have debates on the program. So we welcome that, and again, we put out the offer to MV Energy to please come on the program and have more discussions, and I'm sure you would welcome that.
I'd love to come back. That'd
Thank
be great,
you.
Sam.
Thank it's
you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We've got over 10 years of archives there for you. Plus, download the podcast of the show free of charge from iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast.